this new state of consciousness kind of just crept up on me. And a lot of that physical tension just kind of dissipated. And I started to see like beauty everywhere. Research shows that not only do individuals go through these consciousness upshifts, but collective groups, organizations, countries, the world, humanity as a collective body goes through the same processes. Humanity is still operating from a ego-driven us versus them, like need to be right. We're going to blow ourselves up. You can see it in the leaders that we're choosing. And so part of what I'm going to be building is programs and offerings to help especially leaders to come into higher states of consciousness
in their soul. They want to actually feel free. You know, they don't want to feel like they're imprisoned or trapped or forced to do something they don't want to do. So
everything about the existing system does exactly what you're describing. What I am pretty tapped into is that decentralization is a theme, not just in Bitcoin and money, but I'm seeing decentralization themes throughout. And I think it fits into this consciousness upshift of humanity.
I am excited to have Matt Manning here with me today, the founder of Liminal Leap. He's focusing on personal and collective evolution, Bitcoin, AI, consciousness, and awakening. How are you?
Doing well.
Thank you for joining the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just close out a few of these windows so I'm not distracted. There we go.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great idea. So I kind of like to start it off with like getting to know people, what you're like, what was your journey? What led you to Bitcoin? And I saw that you started Liminal Leap. I want you to tell us more about the company. I have a general idea, but I want you to kind of explain it to us what it is. But also you were in sales before this.
You want me to start with kind of like what led me to Bitcoin?
Yeah.
I remember in 2017, the bull market of 2017, I wasn't in yet, but I was working in tech at the time. And I remember being in the office and seeing like this madness and mayhem going on. You know, it was an open kind of floor plan where I was working, and all the salespeople like were losing their minds at the run-ups, and people were throwing in tons of money. And then at the top, people lost a bunch of money. So I just remember it being like this mania phase, right? When retail was going crazy. And I didn't know what it was. I thought everyone was crazy. And then it crashed back down. You know, it was at like 20K, and it crashed back down to, at the time, it was like 7 or 8,000. And I had a friend of mine who we worked in a youth group together, and we were out one night with the youth, like getting ice cream. And he started talking to me about, you know, Bitcoin and crypto, blockchain. And like, so it was around tax return time. And I was like, oh, what? I'm going to, you know, it's crashed down. Seems like a good time to buy. I'll throw some tax return money into it. So that's kind of how I bought some Bitcoin, bought some ETH, and quite quickly gravitated to the Bitcoiners. I can tell more of that story, but yeah, that's kind of when I got in, was around 2018. And
I got into Bitcoin in 2020, and I think to some people that's early, but 2018, I feel that's OG status to me.
Well, yeah, I think 2020 is when I really went down the rabbit hole. You know, like over the course of, I have kind of an obsessive personality once I get into something. So I remember I was commuting at the time. I had like a 45-minute drive to and from work, and I started to listen to a lot of the podcasts. And, you know, I quickly realized like the crypto people and the Bitcoin people were very different. I couldn't understand what the crypto people were talking about. Like it was this foreign language. And I didn't even know what problem they were trying to solve, but it was like all this cool lingo. The Bitcoiners were like talking about deep, really stimulating questions that really like spoke to the deep rooted issues in society. And so I quickly gravitated that direction.
Isn't that interesting that, you know, you see the difference in personalities when you're listening to people who are into crypto and into trading, and they're constantly talking about trades, right?
Right. Yeah.
And it's like when you listen to Bitcoiners, it's almost a sense of calm, right? Like you're not listening to this anxiety filled room full of people discussing what trade they're doing today and when to sell. And, you yeah. know, watching these charts, it's very anxiety inducing. But when you listen to somebody discussing Bitcoin, it's very relaxed. I think I mean, that's the difference.
Yeah. And so like having stumbled upon that 2018, 2019, like really starting to listen, then COVID happened. And I was like, wow, everything that these Bitcoiners are talking about, it's like, I'm watching it happen. I'm watching the money printing. I'm watching these like PSYOP things happen, like things that back then were conspiracies, but now are just like widely accepted as this was normal. And so, yeah, I started to work from home and I really went down the rabbit hole in 2020. I'd spend hours upon hours just listening to podcasts. And
once you really start to realize that the things you thought were things that might happen down the road, like you think one day these things are going to get really out of control and we might see this happen at some point, but this stuff that we, it's literally like you think Bitcoiners were right. You know, you just everything they've been saying, but it's happening faster than you expected, right? But
yeah,
when that happened for you, you were a successful, you know, sales career, and then you decided to leave that and start your own business. Then you started Liminal Leap.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot in between that. That was only about 7 or 8 weeks ago that I quit my job, and I'm just kind of building something. I'm trusting that whatever's coming together. You know, I talk about Bitcoin, like when I went down that rabbit hole in 2020, you know, 2018, 2019, 2020, it was such a paradigm shift as I peeled back the layers and really started to study everything. And it flipped the script so much for me about, you know, the most basic assumptions I have about money, about the financial system, about government, about how society is run. And it was such a paradigm shift that it made me start to question everything. Like if I was missing that, like what else am I missing? And so that took me down this pretty intense personal journey where I started to question every aspect of everything that I assumed to just be true, like the most basic assumptions. And it's been a pretty aggressive spiritual awakening the last year or so. And really it was a process that was going on for years. But yeah, like I've been feeling a pull. I studied psychology in college and have gotten into Eastern styles of meditation, consciousness. And so I'm feeling a pull back in that direction. I thought it would happen in a couple of years, but, yeah, about 8 weeks ago, it just kind of, it just happened. I knew, yeah, that it was time.
I keep thinking, why is that? Because I thought this was something that I realize that a lot of people that study Bitcoin have these spiritual awakenings because beliefs that you've held your whole life are now not true. So when you think about so many people that understand Bitcoin having these spiritual awakenings, it's because you feel like money transcends. I mean, it's so deep rooted into every part of our lives, right? So you can find all these things that are wrong with society because of the money being broken. And that's why we go back to that saying, fix the money, fix the world. So it's very common. It's not, I thought it was more rare. I thought maybe people that understood Bitcoin understand the technology behind Bitcoin. They understand why it protects wealth, like certain things, but I didn't think so many Bitcoiners took that deep dive that really just shakes their foundation of truth. And they do start to question all the other things in life that they thought were the way they were, but you're realizing so much is not the way you think. It's all an illusion, but it's way more common than I thought it was.
I think Bitcoiners are uniquely positioned for consciousness, higher states of consciousness, because like I compare it, I think Bitcoin in a lot of ways was a catalyst to me to higher state of consciousness, to a spiritual awakening. And it's because once you're open to that big of a paradigm shift, you know, I always say Bitcoin is an ego test in a lot of ways, because you have to question some of those deep assumptions and like be willing to admit that you are wrong on certain things. And in my opinion, some of the other, to make it into higher states of consciousness and to upshift, that's an even bigger test. Because it goes even deeper inside of yourself to the whole story that you've crafted about like who you are, what you're up to, why you do certain things. And every assumption that has kind of socially constructed you has to be deconstructed. And so I think that's why Bitcoiners, they have open minds and they're willing to question some of those basic assumptions. But yeah, I'm starting to see this topic that you're talking about start to trend more and more. And I hadn't seen it up until recently, like more broadly. It feels like a distinct shift that's happening.
Do you feel like the shift that you said was pulling you towards starting your new company? That same, because you said you studied psychology and that like you felt some kind of shift pull you towards this this new stage in your life, and the way that you felt that you're seeing it more and more now, like, because now you had this awakening that you're noticing this topic come up more, or do you think it was from before but you weren't noticing it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, my inclination is that it's a little bit of both. Right around the time I got into Bitcoin, I also got into meditation back in 2018. And I wasn't like meditating a lot at that time. It was just here and there. I kind of started to dabble in it. As I really started to question my own assumptions over the last couple of years, I really got into that. And I started to study modern developmental psychology, and I have a meditation teacher. So I was kind of like simultaneously going down these two rabbit holes. And I didn't realize at first how much how much overlap the concepts had on each other. So I think, yeah, on some level, it was due to my personal kind of journey and what I was studying. But in that, you know, as I went really deep inside myself the last couple of years and really had like a, to be really frank, like a dark night of the soul, my identity, like who I thought I was, started to fall apart. And the things that I used to connect with people on, like sports teams, my family's really into like college football. And I started to notice like those things that I was really into, I just didn't care about anymore.
You start to feel like you can't connect because people are just not even thinking about there being a problem.
Yeah. And it's a, like that type of a process is quite disorienting. And, you know, I've written about like the similarities between the volatility of Bitcoin and the volatility of personal growth. And like, you know, to upshift into a new state of consciousness is inherently like really disorienting. And your ego wants to go back to what it knows. And things are shifting so much that like you break through to a new level and you feel great. You know, the body opens up. And then all of a sudden, it's just like the Bitcoin chart, you're crashing back down and everything's, you know, it takes a while before you can stabilize up to a new state.
What are the feelings? Because I feel like I'm trying to remember back to how it was for me. And I'm sure when you describe some of these feelings, it'll come back to me. But it's almost like when you go through some of these things, you don't revisit how you felt until you, like someone like you who studied these things can explain and remind us how we felt going through this journey. Because when we talk to new people about Bitcoin, we forget how, like the road that we went on, and maybe for them to understand what is happening to them, because it is this mind altering, you know, way of thinking that just transforms you. How did you, like, how could you explain what we went through, like the highs and lows? Like, I'm trying to remember myself. Like, I think it was, you make this breakthrough, you believe in it, you have conviction. But then life tests you with things that are just coming up, and you feel either toxic people in your life or people that are, you know, have this negative energy, and things that you still give your attention to, they can bring you down. But then you come back to remembering that, no, I can stay back in my other world because this is the new future and this is where I should be spending more of my time. Is that kind of what you think people deal with the process of the ups and downs, or what kind of other things happen to people?
Yeah, I mean, I've studied it enough that I see some common trends. I can speak to my own experience and what that was like, because I think it is unique to each person. Like, we're all so different. Our own upbringings, our own conditioning, the types of family we were raised in, where we were raised, like that really conditions us to view the world through a specific lens. And
but even like your birth order, I think, shapes your personality so much, like so many things do.
Right. And like, I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah, born and raised still in part of the Mormon church. And so like that has a ton to do with my upbringing and spirituality. That's been a whole other story with this. Just to speak a little bit to your question on some of the emotions, I think, you know, for me specifically, like I've dealt with, I've realized I have an interesting kind of combination of personality traits. And from a very young age, I've been at, there's parts of me that have been at war with themselves from a very young age. And that's led to a lot of somatic physical tension. So I've dealt with chronic pain really throughout my whole body for 20 plus years. And that's part of why I think I went through this type of a process, because it was almost like my physical body was so fighting against itself, and it would manifest as headaches. And I had a traumatic ankle injury that I think had to do with the left and right side being like totally out of balance. And I broke my leg. My foot was backwards. This was in high school. So, and then you add, you know, I have three young kids. One of them is severely special needs. And so you add those types of things. And like my anxiety built up to a point that was, it was pretty intense.
For some reason, men have this role as the father where you just have more of a, like, I'm the protector. I need to worry about all these things that might go wrong or might happen. And you're like the lion of the pack, you know? So I feel like you have all this extra weight on you, because you're like, if I don't check the doors are locked, or if I'm not, like, you know, keeping everyone safe, it's up to you. So you have that added pressure because you have to, you know, take care of everybody and make sure everyone's good, you know, be the protector. You know, that's something that I go to bed every, I don't check a single door. I don't think about it. It's not part of my reality. But my husband's like, oh, I have to make sure everything's good and everyone's safe. And you're worried about that, especially with a child like that needs extra help.
Yeah, exactly. There is a lot of weight. And so, you know, for me, like a little over a year ago, first part of 2024, I was going on a business trip to San Diego and then on a vacation out to Florida with my family. And I was on the plane to San Diego, and this new state of consciousness kind of just crept up on me where my anxiety went away. My body like released, and a lot of that physical tension just kind of dissipated. It was gone, not all the way gone, but it was this new lighter place. And I started to see like beauty everywhere. In nature.
Did something specifically happen in your mind where you realized something, or was it just kind of like you just all of a sudden felt it like out of nowhere?
It just happened. I'd been doing a lot of meditative work, kind of deep inner work, studying a number of different Eastern traditions and Bitcoin. But I think it was, to some extent, it was like my nervous system was so overwhelmed that something had to change, and it just happened. And so I've written a little bit about this, but I was on vacation for a couple of weeks. And then when I came home, I was kind of like, is this my new, and while I was on vacation, every repressed emotion started to come out. I have 50 pages of journal entries from that trip, everything to like my deepest fears of death, to things that happened in my childhood, like things just started to come out. And it was such an intense process during that really the last year and a half, like, I couldn't even listen to music with words. It was too much because I had so much repressed emotion coming out that I could only listen to like classical music.
I've talked about classical music being something that it's something that follows like patterns of nature, or something with the ups and downs and how it goes. And I feel like when you listen to classical music, it's like telling a story, and it feels like life because it starts off calm and nice, and then it gets really aggressive, and then it calms down again. And it's like the same cycles we go through in life. So I think it helps you think through your experiences when you listen to classical music. It helps you, I don't know, unpack these thoughts because you follow the waves of the music and you don't have the words distracting you. So I think it can be really meditative. This is just me trying to digest, you know, what you're saying. But probably as you're healing and as you're feeling like this weight fall off of you, and you have like certain ideas or concepts that you become comfortable with that no longer give you anxiety, then it's almost like your body's bringing up the old ones to say, well, how do you feel about this one? It's like handling one task at a time, I think. Maybe that's why they started as you were healing coming out.
Yeah. And yeah, that's really consistent with my experience. And, you know, I went into this state that felt so good, so peaceful. And it was so foreign to me because I'd lived in this fight or flight state for, you know, most of my life. And I came back and I was like, is this my new reality? Is this, you know, how things are going to be? And I was in for a rude awakening that, you know, that initial breakthrough in what I saw, my system immediately crashed back down to what it knows. And that, that next year was really volatile, and a lot of physical pain came back up, a lot of processing. And it was really this expansion, contraction kind of cycle that I would go through, where there was highs and lows. And that's why when I talk about Bitcoin being volatile, like, it, you know, Bitcoin doesn't monetize in a straight line when you're measuring in dollars, and neither does human transformation. Like, we don't just break through and stay there.
That's fascinating that you bring that up, because usually people think that now I had an awakening and now I should be good. But I love that you're talking about this, because it is a journey, and it does, I feel like, come in waves. But what's fascinating about Bitcoin is our market, our, you know, the US stock market and all these markets around the world are very manipulated and they're not natural. But Bitcoin being a fair and free market, and it is a natural market that grows with, they say markets follow human emotion. So when people are going through these journeys, it's almost like that's why you see the volatility in Bitcoin, because people reflect Bitcoin's price when they have fear or they have anxiety or they have bullishness. So I think a lot of this, what we see happening in Bitcoin price, is people understanding and, you know, really, really becoming enlightened or having a spiritual experience, because you kind of see as Bitcoin grows, more and more people find that road. Mm. And if it goes in these waves all the time, but more and more people end up getting it, like understanding it. So the Bitcoin market is an extension of our humanity learning about Bitcoin and having these waves as it grows. But once you realize it, you actually say, okay, now I'm here and I'm staying here. This is the world I want to be in.
Yeah. One thing that's top of mind for me right now that I want to explain, and then happy to go back into some of my pull to psychology and kind of what I'm creating. But, you know, as I've studied, I have a teacher who has been studying at Harvard Divinity School, studying consciousness. And I explained Bitcoin to him. He didn't know anything about Bitcoin. And, you know, these same cycles that individuals go through and consciousness upshifts, you can track them back to childhood, and children go through these distinct consciousness upshifts in adolescence. The world takes on new meaning. Adults continue to develop into these very, you can measure them and see where somebody's at. A lot of the discourse is related to people get in fights with each other, and it's because they're just viewing the world through a totally different perspective, and one can't see the other. That's most of the shouting back and forth that goes on online. But what's really interesting is, as I explained Bitcoin to this teacher, and he's studying those levels of consciousness, and he says that the research shows that not only do individuals go through these consciousness upshifts, but collective groups, organizations, countries, the world, humanity, as a collective body, goes through the same processes and upshifts through these same processes. And I explained Bitcoin. He's like, I know nothing about Bitcoin except for what you've told me the last 30 minutes, but I can see exactly in the science, in the model, where something like Bitcoin would have to emerge in order for humanity to make that upshift to a higher state of consciousness as a collective whole. And so that's where I think we're barely scratching the surface on the implications of what Bitcoin means for humanity and for consciousness. And if we have a money that frees up our time, especially with AI and technology that are coming in with all this deflation, then it gives humanity the time to ask these deeper questions, because we don't have to be in survival mode to continue to outpace inflation and just be in this rat race to keep up and put food on the table. It allows humanity to ask those deeper questions. And when one person awakens, there's a ripple effect. And I'm seeing it happen pretty aggressively. And so I think over the next 5 or 10 years, we're in for a surprise.
We've experienced the ripple effect too. And I think that I want you to get into how you think that things are gonna shift going forward, because this is such a fascinating idea. You know, consciousness, connected consciousness, Bitcoin being this network that is actually a connected consciousness. What we can't understand what it is, because right now you imagine every single person that went down that rabbit hole as from the beginning, right? When you're understanding Bitcoin and you're early on and you're trying to understand what it is, you are also working. You are also taking care of your family. You are also, so it becomes this obsession because you're trying to fit in all this crazy information you're trying to make sense of between your responsibilities and your job and your sleep schedule. And you're trying to figure this out. And it's very hard to wrap your head around it, but we are doing it in this transformative time where we're like the pioneers understanding this new thing. It's like we have to be obsessive people to be able to come to these realizations during a time where we don't have the freedom to spend as much time as we'd like on it. But going forward, as technology shifts and changes things, people would have more time to unpack this, you know, and feel like, okay, yeah, it could be an obsession, but you actually have the freedom to just think about these things and spend time breaking it down more as things get better in the future with the technology and abundance. But yeah, tell us more about where you're going with your thoughts about where this led you, this whole journey.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. You know, I mentioned I studied psychology in college and I thought I would work in that space. And then I ended up in sales for 17 years. You know, I started in door-to-door sales. I'd been a missionary for the Mormon Church in Mexico. And I came home off my mission. My friends were going to sell alarm systems for the summer. And I'm like, you're going to pay me to knock on doors? So sure, I'll go do that. And then I ended up in tech for the last, you know, 10 or so years doing enterprise software sales. But, you know, as I went through this process that we've been discussing over the last couple of years and really started to go deep within myself and connect to like my soul and my heart, I just felt this intuition that I should get back into psychology and consciousness and to that, that was going to kind of be the way I could spend the second half of my life. And I thought it was going to be a couple years out where I would make this big shift. The company I was at, in line to probably get acquired in like 18, 24 months. But I had been feeling the shift in life, like my job had become almost an energy suck where like I was having all the success, making good money, selling to some of the biggest companies in the world, like all the things that on paper I thought I wanted, but more money wasn't really feeding me inside, right?
Once you realize that you don't have the same interests that you used to have, once you start to understand what's happening here, when you used to work so hard, you thought, oh, now I can, you know, buy more like a nicer car or a nicer house, and I can spend more money on nicer clothes to show off for people that, you know, might see me, or, you know, you want to like show off how much money you're making, and you think those are important in life. But once mm-hmm. you realize what's happening here and you realize what's truly important, why are you busting your butt, you know, to make so much more money? And you're thinking, I should be proud of myself for doing this. But again, the same things aren't important to you. And when you realize that we're on the cusp of this giant transformation. So I think you're just excited about being part of that world, you know, and
yeah. Yeah. So exactly. But I started to talk to my employer about, hey, you know, there's some other jobs internally that might be better for me that are more people focused. Like I really wanted that connection and development. And I approached my employer and it looked like a couple of those jobs might work out. And then they didn't at the last minute. And they came to me and said, we need you in all in on sales for the next like 2 years. So write down what that looks like. Cause you know, the past years I went through all this emotional upheaval. Work wasn't my number one priority, and they knew that. I was pretty upfront with them. So I wrote down what all in looked like one Friday night about 7 or 8 weeks ago. And then I woke up that night at about 1:30 in the morning and I was suffocated. I couldn't breathe. And it was like my body knew that it was time to move on. And so it kind of all came together in the middle of the night. Spoke with my wife and the people that I trust over the weekend, and I quit my job on Monday, just like that. And so I'm just building something that, and I'm trusting that like something's going to emerge that is what I'm supposed to be doing. It's really scary, but the whole journey has led me to this point to just say yes to life and to follow what my heart wants to do and trust that the universe will support me.
I love that. And I think that that's what you have to do when you take risks. But it's funny that people think taking a risk can make you feel those feelings that you were feeling prior. But actually taking these risks, I'm curious, how have you felt physically since you've taken that, made that change?
Yeah, I mean, depends on the day. It's the first week I felt really light. I felt a lot of peace. And then it depends on the day. Some days I'm like, what in the hell am I doing? What am I doing? Right.
But do
But
you still feel the body, like the pain, the same anxiety, like kind of inducing like mental effects in your health? Are you still noticing those things? Or are you still like, I know it's scary and you're feeling a lot like I am, like starting this podcast. I feel like, is this
yeah.
crazy? Like, what am I doing? I can't believe I'm even doing this podcast. Like, this just feels like something so new that I'm. But it's like when you get positive feedback and support from people, and when you're building something, it makes you feel like you want to go further and keep going. But you're trying something new, you're not sure if you're doing, like, not doing the right thing, but you're just wondering how it's all going to play out. But you have to be just comfortable with the unknown, right? Like, you embrace that journey. You probably feel a little bit of relief physically. I would say you're probably not getting up at night freaking out or something.
Yeah, I generally like I know deep within me that this is the right move and it's energizing. Like I'm loving what I'm doing, how I'm spending my time. I'm really choosing how to spend my time and I'm doing things that light me up. And I'm still going through a pretty deep unwind process where those emotions are still coming out. Like it was much more the first while as I got used to it, I was resisting a lot of what was coming out because it was so challenging. And now it's more just surrendering to that process, just playing out. And in a lot of ways, this is kind of the culmination of like, quitting my job and diving into something that's not guaranteed and it's not secure. And like there's, in a lot of ways, that's me going right into my own deepest fear. But that's what I've learned is like, meditation, they teach you that like you can just observe whatever emotion there is, and as it comes up, be curious about it. And as I've gone through that, I've learned that turning toward the difficulty and going right into it and seeing what's underneath there is where the growth happens. And so it was kind of an opportunity for me to just live the kind of life I say that I want to live. And yeah, I mean,
Yourself, you can't do something or shouldn't do something, just say why not. Just actually just kind of like try to make it so that even if that fear creeps up, I do the same thing. It's when I see the fear creep up, I just say, I don't care about you, go away. I have to get this done. Because even in my actual job, there's been plenty of times in my life where I didn't think I was comfortable doing something that like I would have new clients that asked for different things, or sometimes I would be so busy I couldn't deal with what I had to deal with because there was too many things going on at once. And there's parts of you that just think, I just can't do this. I'm so tired right now, or I can't get through it. But you know that even when you have all these thoughts thinking that how am I possibly going to get this done, you can't think about that. You just have to do it. Like you have to just say, okay, just put it aside and just get it done. So when you're feeling these thoughts of fear, it's like, okay, thank you, fear. Thanks for stopping by. But just I need to just keep going and just not let that stop me. Just keep working on moving forward.
Yeah, and what I'm finding is like I have a pretty deep purpose for what I'm trying to build, and that's to help more people to awaken to the reality that's in front of them and get into higher states of consciousness that are more mature, more inclusive, more loving. Because like regardless of Bitcoin, and I think Bitcoin will catalyze this shift, but even with Bitcoin, if humanity is still operating from a ego-driven us versus them, like need to be right, we're going to blow ourselves up. You can see it in the leaders that we're choosing. And so part of what I'm going to be building is programs and offerings to help especially leaders to come into higher states of consciousness that can hold all the different perspectives and see the value in them and come up with creative solutions that aren't driven by, hey, it's me and I'm right. Like that mode of thinking, that whole like binary, it's this or that, it's us or them. You see it in religions, you see it in countries. Like we need to step beyond that. And I think that's what's going to happen in humanity is we have to, like, we are one one humanity, and I still see so much like hatred and this, and that's operating from the mind, from the binary, where we make boundaries and we're trying, and it's like it comes out of a place that's deeply ingrained into our survival. But in order to get to higher states of consciousness, we got to drop down into the heart more and live from that space. And that's why I'm so optimistic about Bitcoin, because I think it allows people to do that. And I see it all over the place with Bitcoiners who are really tuning into their own soul purpose. Like you talked with Holly about soul sovereignty. And that's kind of how I see that. And the more people are doing that, and the more we bring our own unique gifts to the world, things can transform for the better.
Yeah, I definitely see that that's how things are moving. People do want to feel good in their soul. They want to actually feel free. You know, they don't want to feel like they're imprisoned or trapped or forced to do something they don't want to do. So
everything about the existing system does exactly what you're describing. Like our existing systems enslave people. They drive all of those emotions. And so until we can like exit the matrix and exit the existing system and build something new. And that's what I see Bitcoiners doing. Like we're opting out of the system, and not only the economic system, but like, what else are we going to build? What is humanity going to look like? And with Bitcoin at the base layer, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah. And I think people, like you said, like we can't even fathom how this is going to change the world, because, you know, something Jeff Booth said too, it's not just a technology, it's a protocol, you know, just like the internet was a protocol. So it's something that we can't really see the implications of how this will change the world and how it'll shape AI, because I really think that you have thoughts on that too, which I'd like to hear. This soul sovereignty is definitely something that I think, you know, is very important, and people are realizing that they need to change and awaken. And it's like Holly also said in that same episode, was that there's two trains leaving the station. So it's like this parallel system growing alongside of the current toxic system. So I like that as another description for it too. Do you think that communities, like people coming together, so when people find our groups and our communities, they can kind of get to this place faster when they have a group of people versus trying to find it on your own, which a lot of us did. We kind of went through this on our own. It's nice to find a group of people that you can talk to, your, you know, have your thoughts with and all that stuff too.
Yeah. And I think it's important to realize, and most of us know that like at one point we were trying to sift through all that noise, and like, I don't know a lot of people that just went right to being Bitcoin only. I'm sure they exist, but they're probably just like anomalies. So it's important to remember that everyone goes through and kind of questions things and comes on their own terms. And Jeff Booth's a great example of somebody who's really patient and accepting of, and he's not shouting to be right. And he's really trusting that people are going through their own process and their own timing. So I think that's important, because, you know, things can get quite combative, and it's like, you know, screaming at somebody. I don't know. In my experience, I've done plenty of that, but it doesn't really work.
Well, that's why he's a great role model for that, to teach us that he's that way, and that's not the way you win people over, or that's not the way that you teach people.
Right. And, you know, some of my thoughts are, I don't think that some of the crypto people and the crypto kind of ideology about, you know, faster payments and some of the features that you know, the Bitcoin base layer doesn't have by design, because it needs to stay secure. I do think some of those things are valuable. And in my opinion, I'm very much aligned with Jeff Booth that Bitcoin being a protocol, just like the internet, I think all of those crypto use cases, the speed, all of these, you know, business functionality enhancements to make things faster and more efficient, I think they all will make their way into Bitcoin and be built in layers on top of Bitcoin. But that's something that takes time to play out. So I don't think that like people that are into crypto for some of those reasons are totally up in the night. It's just, I think if you step back and look at the big picture, I think it's a winner take all type environment, just like the internet was built in layers, so that all of those layers are built. Back in the 90s, you know, the functionality was pretty basic on the base layer, and you had to be pretty technical to do things. And now they've built all these layers to where me and you just click a button, and here we are on opposite sides of the country, and we're just speaking with each other. That's because of those 5-6 layers that have been built over the last 30 years. So as you give Bitcoin time to build and to mature, and for these layers to get built, especially with AI, I think there's going to be a lot of things that get built, and it will be gradually and then suddenly.
Yes, I love that. And how you also mentioned with your company, what you're building, trying to show governments and leaders and how to come up with a solution to a problem in a positive way, instead of using that sort of ego, I better win type of idea. We do live on one planet. We do have to figure out how to work together, right? So are you using AI in your programming to help solve problems for people, to come up with solutions when they are, like, for leaders? Is that how it's working, or how does that work?
It's still coming together, to be really frank. Yeah, I kind of have envisioned originally when I started the Liminal Leap. Right now, I'm just kind of writing in a newsletter and processing my thoughts and building things. But I kind of had three niches of people that I'll be focusing on. One was Bitcoiners who are primed for spiritual awakening and higher levels of consciousness. I see that everywhere. So I'll probably create some offerings in the future, whether that's a book, podcast, online courses, meditation groups who can dive into some of these deeper metaphysical spiritual concepts and really experience them together. That's one. The other is burnt out tech workers who are looking for, what do I do? How do I, you know, make a move to follow what my heart says? And then the third, which is where I think I'm going to focus on, is leadership development. So I'm going to be building some executive coaching programs, where I'll be working with leaders. And the basic premise is there's lots of different coaches out there who will coach you on time management and like business process and money and all of these, you know, these different processes. My approach is going to be different. And the pitch is basically like, you know, at some point, upgrading your business isn't about throwing more money at it, hiring more people, doing more process. It's actually upgrading yourself and going deep within yourself, upgrading your own state of consciousness, and then watching that flow out into everything in your life, your family, your relationships, the presence that you bring. I think that's where the real upgrade happens. And I think that's what a future leader looks like, is somebody who's really regulated in their nervous system and brings a presence. So I'm going to be pulling together a number of different approaches and avenues to. And it's going to be really challenging work to go into yourself as a leader. You've probably seen it in corporate America. You see people's own conditioning and patterns, shadow, trauma that start to come out in all sorts of weird ways. And the more we can upgrade ourselves, the more everything just flows naturally. So that's kind of where I'm focusing right now, but we'll see where it goes.
I love that it's all about upgrades and, you know, trying to better ourselves and, you know, raise our, you know, the vibration and, you know, the energy and be a positive force for other people who are around us. And, you know, because when you go into a room and you feel like, you know, all of us have seen it a million times a day, but you walk into any room and you could tell that even if it's a cashier at a store and they're just like, hi, how are you? And they're just, even if they don't love their job, they're just like, you know, you're a human being. You're not just a robot walking through, you know, the store. Even a coffee line, you'd go in to get a coffee and somebody's super chipper and there, it makes you feel like it just spreads that little bit of energy toward you. And that's what I think you do when you're positive, because there's so much negativity out there and you feel like you just walk around and you see people that just look like a dark cloud is hanging over them. And when you see happy people, you gravitate toward them. You know, you're actually mm-hmm. like, wow, I want to be around this person. They're pretty cool.
And that's what's so amazing about Bitcoin, is because, you know, on the surface, you make some of these claims and people look at you like you're kind of crazy. But once you study the incentives of how the system's been built, it's been built to put people in that place that you're talking about, to kind of suck the soul out of them and make them reliant on the system, big pharma, all of those things, that the food we're eating, to keep us in this perpetual negative vibration. the system that was built, I think, served a purpose. The monetary system, we needed it for the Industrial Revolution. And it definitely, like, I don't want to just say it was all bad, because it definitely served a purpose in our evolution and how we upshifted. But it's coming to a time where the old systems no longer work. And the way that centralized systems of government have operated in the past aren't set up to operate at the speed of AI, at the speed of technology, and at the speed of upshift that humanity is going through. So I think it will just be a natural, like, it's really clear that the old way doesn't work anymore. And that's why we need more people to become more conscious and tap into their own creativity, because there's no map for where we're going. It has to be built. And you see Bitcoiners building new things every day that have an impact. And so the more people we can get on board to start seeing that, because once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's just like the Matrix, the Bitcoin rabbit hole. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. And consciousness even more. Like, once you see the deeper reality of how amazing we are as humans, and I'm blown away at just everything that happens moment to moment. There's so much goodness in front of us that we're just numbed out to.
It's not something that you and I are talking about that sounds like cuckoo stuff. It's actually real. Like, people know that energy makes a difference. People know that there's vibrations. People know that you could be attracting good energy or bad. Like, that's like a thing that is pretty common. Like, people know that, even if they don't really understand it, they know that when they walk into a room and they see someone happy, they kind of get happier because they're around that person, you know? It's just natural. It is a natural phenomenon. But it's like, if you imagine everyone knows this, and let's say governments or corporations or people that want you to work and make money off you, they understand this thing, and they understand that in order to control, you can lower people's vibration so that it's easier to keep them in this fog, and easier to keep them not trying to escape. Right? They're just kind of like, this is it. This is all we have. You know, we're stuck here. You know, there's no other options. We trust them completely, you know? People are realizing that the more time that passes, you know, not that didn't serve a purpose. It brought us to where we are, but it was for the Industrial Revolution, not for the technological revolution we're entering. And we're seeing even from 4 years ago, how much AI has changed. I didn't use ChatGPT or AI 4 years ago, but now I use it more. I don't Google anymore at all. So people are a lot, everyone that I talk to, it's like most people use ChatGPT or Grok or something for most of the things they do in the day, and it helps save us a lot of time. And maybe because it's saving people a lot more time in a day doing stupid tasks that they would have to do and normally take time to figure out, now maybe more people are waking up because they're realizing that they have this tool that's like almost having an assistant, that now you have a little more free time to think about what's going on in the world. And maybe more people are awakening because of that.
Yeah, there's certainly some complex dynamics going on. And I think, you know, by its very nature, the more technology frees us up, takes jobs away, and on a Bitcoin standard makes prices come down. Like, I remember I've talked about these big ideas with some really smart people and people who are stuck in the existing system. One of my friends, it's really smart, at one point told me, well, what are people going to do? People are going to go crazy without a job to spend their time on. And I'm like, okay, maybe some people, but that's part of the beauty of this is like, I think the human spirit is quite resilient. And as that happens, more people are going to have to awaken. My opinion is there's a lot of really sensitive people in our society that are sensitive to those more subtle energies and some of the more esoteric arts, energy reading, psychics, all those types of things. And I think my prediction is over the next 10 years, that's going to become much more mainstream and more people are going to wake up to like some of the innate capacities that humans have and some of our gifts that have been suppressed by the systems that have been built. But the capacity of the human heart, when you drop into the heart and you're not living up in your head, like, it's mind blowing. It's connected to everything. And like, we're the supercomputer.
Right. You're thinking with with love instead of with overthinking and with like doubt and with fear and all the things that your mind carries, you know. But when you think with your heart, you just have feeling and you have love, you know, and that's what your day is powered by, that, you know. And that's why, yeah, it's a great thing to try to shift that, what drives you away from your mind and into your heart.
In the West especially, we live up in our heads, and in a lot of ways we worship the intellect, and the intellect is powerful. The brain is really powerful. It's a really good tool. As AI comes out and like has the capacity to do all of that thinking, where does that leave us? And that leaves us with the human heart is distinct and different from logical thinking. And so I think that the future economy is going to be very much tied to those who are doing heart-centered work. I think that's going to become very important for the future of humanity, to have more people operating from that place. And there's going to be a whole economy built around it.
People could actually just have children, spend time with them, play with them, have time to... It would just actually be what reality should be. It's a beautiful thing that people are electing not to do because this life is too hard. So I think the future is going to not only bring creativity back to people, now you don't have time to be creative because you're too busy working, you're too tired. People will find something to do. People will find hobbies. People will be happy. You know, you can find things to keep you busy, you know, is what I think.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. As you're talking, it brings a lot of just positive emotions to me about what the future human can be and how our time can be aligned. Like it's striking to me since I quit my job, how much anxiety there is around, there's this background hum that we've been like ingrained into us that our worth comes from how productive we are. And as I've just taken a few months to step back and really trust what's coming through me, that's been a constant theme. Like I have this background, oh, I should be doing something. When it's like, I go for a walk and I just, you know, every once in a while, 30 minutes, an hour outside, listening to the birds, taking in the beautiful mountains. And when you've got that time to just like be present and focus on what's in front of you right now. But in a lot of ways, our system is not designed to do that. You've got to be constantly stimulated doing something. And it makes it so we're like not present. We're disembodied. We're in this constant fight or flight state. And I think that's very much just a function of the system, which is unfortunate. And that's why I'm so optimistic about Bitcoin, because on a new system, the downstream effects flow right into how we engage with each other. And if we can calm down our nervous systems and not just be in this constant fight or flight, put money on the table, scarcity, mindset to survive, it's like this survival instinct. And that's very helpful, but you don't want to always live in that state. And that's why I think Bitcoin, as the world picks up on this future, and I think it's inevitable. It's kind of like once you get on that, you know, that experience I had where the emotions started to come out and I was on this path of awakening, there was no stopping it. Like I could try to resist it, but the more you resist it, the more painful it becomes. That's just like Bitcoin. It's this unstoppable technological force. And the world can resist it. Governments can resist it to their own peril.
Right.
And I think as more people realize what's going on and just surrender to it and find ways to integrate what's happening with Bitcoin into our systems, the possibilities are quite striking and beautiful.
It is, because even when you're giving yourself time to take that walk and you think you're conditioned to think, what should I be doing? I should be productive all day long for this many hours a day. That's what I should be doing, because that's what you're doing all your life. But when you take that walk and you give yourself time to not only take care of your body, but to like slow down your mind and give yourself space, you all of a sudden that inspiration can come to you. You know, it could come to you just through a random thought because you gave yourself space to bring that new thought into your, if you're constantly in that fight or flight mode, you're not giving your brain time at all to think of something creative and have an idea. You're just too busy surviving. So
yeah,
it's not healthy. And and that's why it's important to give your mind space and to do things that create that. And it makes me talk, the more that I speak to people about, you know, this shift and this, you know, awareness, and a lot of people speak about meditation, and I used to do it a lot, and I still feel like I have the idea of how I was when I used to go to you know, mainly it was yoga classes that I would do, but like I would just sit there and meditate much on my own. But still, that 1 hour that I would go, it gave me time to let go of everything else in the world. And I feel like it was a stepping stone to where I'm at today. Because if I hadn't done that for as long as I did, I feel like my brain would always be just running in circles and I wouldn't give myself time, you know, to think. I just love the idea of what you're building, you know, so I just can't wait to see how you do it. And again, take your time. I think it's great that you're doing it, but don't pressure yourself to be like, I have to do this by tomorrow. Like it'll happen. Like, again, when you're doing the right thing and you're trying to contribute to this new world that we're building, to this new better place for people to spend their time in, it'll come to you. You'll have ideas and it'll work because people want to be part of that, you know? So
yeah,
I just think just keep doing what you're doing and just don't let yourself feel like you felt before.
Yeah. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
How do you think it will possibly evolve? Like, do you have any crazy ideas about how it'll evolve? The one thing that I think about the future, if it's not something that you can envision right now, do you also feel that AI, the same way that I feel, is that because Bitcoin exists, I have this idea that AI doesn't scare me because of Bitcoin, because a lot of people are afraid of AI and they think it'll take over, you know, humans and we won't have control over it. But if Bitcoin didn't exist, I think it would be scarier because right now you have these companies building it, but in order to, you know how layers are built on top of Bitcoin? If you have the AI integrating into Bitcoin, then it can keep it something that we can trust, that we know that everyone, it's an open source technology. It's something that everybody can contribute to and program and have it be a collective consciousness like Bitcoin. But if you have just one company like Google or, you know, owning their own AI and everyone owning their own, and then you have to decide which one am I going to use that now is going to influence my thinking. I think the future will move toward, instead of each company owning their versions of AI that maybe might influence us one certain way or another, I think it'll kind of plug into this decentralized consciousness of security and open source where it won't be controlled by one person.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I don't have anything specific as far as like, you know, what I envision, but what I am pretty tapped into is that decentralization is a theme, not just in Bitcoin and money, but I'm seeing decentralization themes throughout. And I think it fits into this consciousness upshift of humanity. Like a lot of things have to decentralize because yeah, AI is quite risky if it's in a few centralized hands. That is a very important fight that we need to be making sure we're building. And I think it will naturally happen over time, but I do think that the next 5 or 10 years are going to be quite volatile when it comes to the government trying to step in and maintain the control that they've always had. Just kind of like how the ego steps in and tries to stay in control when you are going through a shift. It's only natural. You only, you know, the systems in place are what we know. It's inherently disturbing to go into new territory. AI being decentralized. And I even think like I'm seeing decentralization be a theme in like spirituality and religion, where a lot of people are stepping away from this centralized one authority bodies telling them exactly what to believe and exactly what to think. And people are stepping into this more open lived experience where they're decentralizing their own spirituality and going within. So I'm seeing that theme. It seems clear that centralization was kind of yesterday. That's not going to be without its fight. And, you know, being in the fourth turning, I think, unfortunately, we are in for some volatile times.
These systems are an extension of what we go through individually. What's one thing before we go? I want to kind of get into this new little thing where I ask people something that maybe people wouldn't know about.
Prior to Bitcoin, this is really interesting. My hobby was like niche fragrance. So I have a nose. Like I've always been attracted to smells. And so, yeah, from probably like right when I was getting into Bitcoin there for a few years, I was really into high-end niche fragrance, like stuff that you don't find in a department store, like really boutique fragrance houses that just focus on fragrance, really high end.
Specialized like stores just to look for different things, just to see what there is.
Like, yeah, I mean, there wasn't a lot here where I live, so I like to go to the big cities that have some of the more niche brands. I like a lot of the Eastern fragrance, but yeah, I always joke around that if I had spent all my money back in like 2016 to 2019 on Bitcoin, I would be I'd be sitting pretty good. Luckily, I found Bitcoin though.
Yeah,
but it's interesting, like, I've been on a few week-long meditation retreats, and as I get really into stillness, that part of me comes out. And at the first meditation retreat that I went to, it just kind of like spontaneously, in the circle at the end of the retreat, I described what the fragrance of the whole retreat was, and whoa, like the emotion. And I really tie scent and emotion together. I think it tells a story. So yeah, as I've kind of come into some of those capacities inside of me, I have this gift to like tap into emotion and describe what that would smell like.
Wow.
And really good fragrances tell a story, and there's a distinct opening, like the smell at the first, and then it transitions to the middle, and then there's the base that kind of emerges after you've had it on for a couple hours. So yeah, that's just an interesting hobby, and something I'm into is smell.
It's cool because it's like smell is also associated with memories, you know? So memories are emotions too, like how you felt about a memory, you know?
Yeah.
That's very fascinating. That's very cool. Thank you so much for sharing that. You're the first person I did that with, so I'm super happy you had something really cool to tell me, and you know, people can get to know you more personally, and it's amazing how you connect that. So it's like all these things that you're into, no matter what it is that's not Bitcoin related, it all kind of like builds into what you are now. You know, it's like you did that meditation retreat, you kind of, you know, you connect these, like when you meditate, you have these, you know, memories, or you have these emotions that you connect to the scent. So I love it. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
And keep going with what you're doing. Congrats building it. Congrats for freeing yourself from the anxiety that you've had for all these years. You know, now you can just do what you want to do.
Thank you.
Keep going. I can't wait to see how it develops. And
one other thing that I want to say that I failed to mention is, like, as this thing builds, I could see a world where we create some offerings around Bitcoiners and consciousness, maybe even some like retreats that Bitcoiners go to and try to go into some of these deeper topics and personal growth. I think that would be really fun. I'm just open to whatever comes out. So
I love that because when I told you that my, like, everything goes full circle, right? But when I told you my journey started off with, like, that was like my stepping stone was doing the yoga classes that I would do. And I always would see signs about retreats, like yoga retreats or something like that too. I don't know if that's the same as a meditation retreat or if it's different, but either way, it sounds interesting to me. And when I would see that, I used to tell my husband, wouldn't it be cool to go do one of these one day? And we'd always say, yeah, that would be cool. And we never did. So maybe one day when we do it, it'll be with Bitcoiners. So
yeah, and whether it's meditation or yoga, I think that the core tenet is like slowing down to be mindful of your body, of your thoughts. And then at some point you realize, I am not my thoughts. I am not this identity that I've built. Like, I'm the one that's aware of all of it. And that's where things really shift. So I'm a meditation proponent, but I think there's a number of ways for people to get to slow down, tune in with their body, and tap into higher states that can transform our very reality.
Mm-hmm. And maybe Bitcoin is the key to that. Start learning about Bitcoin, and then you'll wanna, you know.
It certainly plays in. I've seen enough people go through the rabbit hole that I'm pretty optimistic. I think we're just scratching the surface for what it means.
Yeah, the collective consciousness. Well, all right. Thank you so much for joining me. If you ever want to come back, I had a really great talk with you. I can't wait to see how things go with you, and good luck. And talk to you again soon on X.
Thanks, Stacey.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.